Welcome to Catherine. This bustling town services about 10,000 people and is at the crossroads of the Northern Territory. To the west we have the Victoria River region and the Western Australian border. To the east is the Gulf Country, and to the south rises the Barkly Tablelands and the vast deserts of Central Australia. Right now, I'm standing in the main street of Catherine, and all around me, people are busy shopping, working, and going about their daily business. But on the 26th of January 1998, things were very different here. Where I'm standing now was deep underwater, and emergency services were busy evacuating people from the town.
The Catherine River is running at 19 metres and is expected to peak at a record 20 metres later this morning. Food drops will begin today for scores of motorists stranded on the flooded Stuart Highway to the north of the town. The tropical low responsible for the rain is still hovering close to Catherine, dashing hopes of an early end to the floods.
Local historian Tina Lowe remembers what it was like in Catherine at the time of the floods.
The river just swallowed the town completely. It just swallowed it. Basically, around the whole of town, people were going in and out in their boats in what were the areas that you're so familiar with driving. As you were boating along, you could touch the roofs and the eaves, and it was very unpleasant.
More than 150 guests at a resort in Catherine were woken early this morning and given just a few minutes to evacuate as floodwaters began lapping around their doors. Several hundred others spent the night on the floor of evacuation centres. On the northern side of town, scores of homes were inundated, their occupants forced to flee with whatever they could carry, ferried to safety by boats and helicopters.
Because all of our shops are centralised, every shop in town shut overnight. And in the aftermath of the flooding, of course, there was nothing here. You couldn't buy any goods. It was very, very, very difficult. The one thing about 1998, though, is the community spirit was just amazing. And if anything, the people that lived here became quite close. They worked together, and you would find when you were cleaning out your house, there'd be someone standing next to you who you might know had lived in your street, but you mightn't have been someone that spoke to them, you know, apart from the occasional wave. And people just bogged in and did whatever they could to help each other. If you had food, you shared it with other people. Those that could, some people just stood cooking meals and just kept feeding people that were just walking in off the street.
But it wasn't here in the main street that the community spirit of Catherine was born. Not far from here is Knott's Crossing, the original site of the township of Catherine.
It's only about 3 kilometres to the Knott's Crossing turnoff, and Knott's Crossing was the actual original river crossing because geographically it's the best point. And just above Knott's Crossing there are the older buildings that still are from the old town site, and about another kilometre out are pylons from the original telegraph station. There was a store, a blacksmith, police station, and they service the needs of the growing pastoral industry and also the mining industry.
From the establishment of the Overland Telegraph Line, the region soon opened up to the growing pastoral industry. This industry still plays an important role in the local economy.
In the wake of the telegraph line, as people put down the poles for the telegraph line and crossed the territory, they found a lot of things of interest, that being minerals for the mining industry, and of course, looking at the land, they realised it would be perfect for the pastoral industry. The land was carved up and leases were given to mainly absentee landlords, and then managers were engaged to come and move in. The stock was originally overlanded, which means it was actually driven in overland from places like Queensland and South Australia. They initially tried sheep, but they weren't suitable for the climate, and then they brought in the cattle, which of course thrived in this region.
On the edge of town is one of the oldest surviving homesteads from the territory's early cattle days. Built by Ernest Giles in 1879, Springvale was the first of the great pastoral properties of the north. The homestead itself is a beautiful old building on the banks of the Catherine River. The first thing you'll notice when you get to Springvale is the beautiful shady trees. These 4 Indian rain trees were planted by Mrs. Giles on the birth of her children. Marion Townsend has lived in Catherine for 20 years. Most of that time has been spent living and working at Springvale as a guide.
Here we are standing in front of the little spring, which of course is why Springvale was so named. And Alfred Giles, whilst looking for a place to build the homestead, found this little freshwater spring and knew that this would be just the spot for his home. And it nourished not only the family but grew wonderful vegetable gardens for their own consumption and for looking after all the people who came through. Travellers who would be sick with beriberi or scurvy when they got here, they would be nourished up with the good fresh vegetables that were always grown here at Springvale. This is my spiritual home. I just love the atmosphere of the trees and the lovely old stone house. There's a great amount of tranquility here, and it just feels just such a comfortable place to be. I always used to say it was a healing place somehow, because perhaps the fact that it had that reputation in the early days as looking after people who were sick when they got here, but it's such a peaceful place that anybody who was distressed or tired or weary would be healed when they stayed here.
Marion is passionate about Springvale and its legacy to the region's pastoral history. But on the 26th of January 1998, things weren't so peaceful here at Springvale. When the nearby Catherine River broke its banks, Marion soon found herself in a difficult situation.
Well, the helicopter was able to land to rescue us. There were about a dozen of us, some people staying at the caravan park next door. And there's a high patch of ground just up from the homestead a little bit, and he was able to land there. But to get to him, we had to go through what was first of all knee-deep and then waist-deep water by the time we got there. And he had to make two trips, and that was all. He was unable to come back for two men who had to be left behind and spent the next two or three days on the top of a bus.
A resident of Catherine Springvale Caravan Park, Neville Smith, says he's surrounded by water and has taken refuge in a bus. If the water continues to rise, he could be in big trouble.
If the rain doesn't stop, by tomorrow, it'll be over the bus and up to the buildings, and if we don't get evacuated by the winched out helicopter, I reckon we'll be crockbait.
But like most places along the Stuart Highway, Catherine really took shape during World War II. From a sleepy little town of around 200 people, Catherine quickly expanded into a thriving army base. One of the best places to view Catherine's wartime history is at the Catherine Museum on Gorge Road.
When World War II was at its peak in 1943, there were 144 trains a week. So that is quite a significant difference, with the trains arriving constantly, men getting off, ambulance trains bringing in wounded from the parts further north, which were still under regular Japanese attack. There were Americans based about 30 kilometres out with their air base, where they were flying heavy sorties with Liberator bombers over Ambon. There was a meatworks just out of town that was killing 1,000 head a week to service the needs of the military. There were military farms where they had chicken farms, fruit and vegetable farms, and they were servicing the needs of the crops with fresh fruit and veg. So there were people coming consistently. So from an area that was able to service a few hundred people, it suddenly was servicing more. So the roads had to be improved quite considerably. The crossing at the river was built at the low level, and there was convoys up and down the track continually.
Well, Catherine certainly has moved on from those early days. And these days, the town really relies on the local tourism industry. Since the creation of Catherine Gorge National Park in 1962 and later Nipmaluk National Park, the number of visitors coming to the area has increased. And the main attraction people come to see is the spectacular Catherine or Nipmaluk Gorge. With 13 sandstone gorges set in the middle of one of the biggest river systems in Australia, Nipmaluk is one of the iconic features of the Top End. So let's keep driving, and I'll meet you out there, where we'll take a boat cruise down the river. As you head out of town, you'll pass Knott's Crossing. Remember, this is the site of the original township of Catherine, and a great place to stop and enjoy the river.